All right.
Andy.
Oh, you are?
Thank you for joining us.
Can you try out some of your jokes?
I change it since yesterday, based on some of your reactions. All right.
We are pleased to have been joined by His Royal Highness, Commissioner Leonard.
Say we appreciate Randy spending time with us.
Thank you, Randy.
We know that since he's preparing for an important event tonight, this probably looks like a second tier assignment. But we're grateful that you could fit us into your schedule.
And thank you for giving me so much material for tonight. You're going to be a star attraction of my remarks.
Thank you. Tonight is the Portland Schools Foundation roast, and dangerously, Commissioner Leonard has the microphone for a while. All right. Portland City Council will come to order. Today is Thursday, February 18th, 2010. Carla, would you please call the roll?
Fritz, Fish.
Here.
Saltzman, Leonard.
Here.
Adams.
Here. Could you please read the title for 2 o'clock time certain, item number 249?
Ordinance. Authorize an intergovernmental grant agreement with TriMet for city financial contributions to fund the final design and construction of the South Corridor Phase 2 Portland-Milwaukee Light Rail Project.
Well, members of the City Council and viewers and those in the room, I want to present to you for your consideration an important component to the build-out of the region's high-capacity transit system, the Portland to Milwaukee Light Rail Line, a central tenet of the City of Portland's land use and transportation policies. To help fund the Portland to Milwaukee Light Rail Project, the City of Portland has agreed to provide $30 million contribution to the $1.417 billion project. That's B, billion. On June 17, 2009, the City Council accepted by resolution the recommended conceptual funding plan for the $30 million City of Portland contribution and directed the Bureau of Transportation to work with the Office of Management and Finance, TriMet, and PDC to pursue the development of a final funding plan. The team has prepared the final funding plans, and before Council today is a non-emergency ordinance to authorize an intergovernmental agreement between the City of Portland and TriMet to formalize our contribution to the project. We have before us, I'll let you guess who is who, Sue Keel, Art Pierce, Fred Hansen, and Neil McFarland. One thing I wanted to up front provide is we might get some concerns raised about it, and it's definitely a policy call, is the relative contribution of urban renewal funds to the proposed Portland-Milwaukee line in comparison to urban renewal funds for the interstate line and the Portland Mall, or the Green Line. You'll see that TIF contributions to the Green Line was about 3.5%. For the interstate line, it was 8.6%. And under this proposal, South Park Blocks, North McAdam, Central East Side actually gets off pretty easy by comparison with 0.7% of contributions. I'm also pleased to report that thanks to our collective efforts to pursue funding wherever we can try to find it, that the South Waterfront, North McAdam area successfully received a $23.2 million TIGER grant, which is a federal transportation grant that will allow for Moody Avenue Street and streetcar reconstruction as called for in the plan. That in turn sets up for the expansion of OHSU and a whole host of other private investments. We have a Central City Grant Connector grant application for $25 million to close that final little lake gap in the streetcar. And we are moving forward on the Portland to Lake Oswego streetcar expansion. And also for Metro, we've asked for $300,000 for a construction excise grant to work on the South Portal design. So that's just a little bit of update. Here to hear a little more. Or do I start with you or Sue?
Sue.
Just a couple of comments before we hand off to Fred. We've been working as a partner on the light rail project design and community involvement efforts since we last came and talked with you. And that's been, I think, about a year that we've been going through this effort, and we've been working on the preliminary engineering through that process too. As a final step of the preliminary engineering, we're collaborating on a conceptual design report, and that's going to come back to you in April. The reason we're not bringing it now is it's going to be out for public comment, and the results of that comment will come to you in April as well. So I think maybe we'll move right to Fred and have his comments, and then we'll come back and talk a little more about some of the finer-tuned aspects of it, as well as the specifics of the funding plan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and City Council members. For the record, I'm Fred Hansen, General Manager of TriMet. With me is Neil McFarland, who is our Executive Director in charge of capital projects and has been doing the direct work on this along with a lot of our people, other people in the audience. First, let me start by thanking the City of Portland for being such a great partner. This is building a transit together. This is our fifth partnership that's produced five different light rail lines, and we're looking forward to future partnerships as well. The strong partnerships obviously are going to be the key to continuing our expansion of alternative travel options for people. The Tiger Grant that Mr. Mayor, you mentioned just a few moments ago is a good example of this. That was a joint effort with a lot of people, but certainly you and us a key in that. Similarly, on this project, the Portland to Milwaukee light rail really demonstrates the collaboration as well. We have financial contributions, not only from the state of Oregon, the 2007 $250 million lottery-backed bonds that were authorized. Then co-chair Ways and Means, Senate co-chair Kurt Schrader, now congressman, was key in that, although certainly a lot of others, Dave Hunt and others as well. But beyond the state of Oregon, Metro has contributed. Obviously, we have TriMet, Clackamas County, the City of Milwaukee, and then, of course, you by this action today. Portland's $30 million investment will really have a tremendous benefit for the region. I mean, if you just think about it, and I think Commissioner Saltzman had raised this once before, if you think about the project itself, every $1 of match from the City of Portland produces $47 in either other local government, state government, or principally the federal government investment. So it's quite attractive federal match. Not only does it help our economy, but it builds permanent infrastructure for our region. The project itself will extend, obviously, from Portland State University in the south over to the south waterfront to dedicate across a dedicated bridge, and I'll come back to that with a few more comments in a moment, to OMSI, southeast Portland, Milwaukee, and then ultimately into North Clackamas County. The project is necessary just to support the region's anticipated 1 million more people that we expect to have over the next 25 years as anticipated in the 2040 plan. The project will also be one of our highest ridership. The federal government estimates out 20 years, and we are expecting that we will have in that 2030 period 27,000 daily trips on this this line, which is more than any of our others in terms of the projections at the time they were made, although we have exceeded those in other places. It's also important that this creates a lot of economic stimulus. 12,300 jobs are estimated, $490 million in personal earnings. So it's obviously a very important economic event as well, although certainly we wish it could start today just because of the need for those jobs. It does obviously require more planning. It represents also the first new bridge over the Willamette River in 35 years, and a bridge, we say, for the 21st century. That is, it will carry light rail, it will carry streetcar eventually, it will carry buses, it will carry pedestrians, it will carry bicycles, but that's all. It is really an alternative mode bridge, and we think, as a result, the only one in the United States that is a major bridge that's dedicated in that fashion. The project also supports the region's land use goals, not only because of a number of connecting of neighborhoods, but also some of the improvements specifically in the area of pedestrian bike network. The transit bridge will have 14-foot wide pathways on each side of the bridge. That's if you think about Hawthorne, which oftentimes is seen as the largest pathways for our in our city at the moment, those are 10-foot pathways. So getting that extra 2 feet, and in fact, that was one of the things that our advisory committee that former Mayor Vera Katz chaired, was to be able to really focus on could we, in fact, squeeze out additional footage for that width. And through some collaborative work, we were able to at a relatively low price. The line will also provide the backbone for the travel through the Innovation Quadrant, connecting Portland State University, Oregon Health Science University, OUS as well, because they're building, intending to build a new building right next to our platform in that area, and then, of course, on the east side, OMSI and PCC. So it's really a chance to be able to connect that and the small businesses and other businesses that will be there. It's a second line to growing Clackamas County and very much a key part of it, part of the reason why the terminology is stage or phase two of the South Corridor project, the first one being the current Green Line. Looking ahead, we're just nearing the end of preliminary engineering right now. That takes the project to 30% design. We hope to begin final design this fall, which takes it from the 30% to the 100% design level. It really has a project that has been very strongly supported by the Federal Transit Administration and the Obama administration in general. In our most recent conversations that Neil and I and Olivia Clark of our staff had with our FTA partners this about the middle of January, we gained really optimism that they will approve funding at 60% from the federal government. This is something that the previous administration had said that for any projects such as this, that they would provide no more than 50%. That obviously would strain all of us financially and maybe make the project impossible. But I'm encouraged by what we have heard and certainly the commitment that Peter Rogoff, the head of the FTA, as well as others, Secretary LaHood and others, have committed. First sign of construction will be in early 2011 with the staging of the bridge. For the bridge, we actually have to be in what is referred to as the fish window beginning in July of that year. The bridge itself is the critical path to be able to complete this project on time, and it's very, very important. Utility relocation. Oh, sorry?
Fish window.
Oh, it's just fish window, Houston.
Just wasn't
explaining to him what the fish window
was. Double pane, kind of.
Yeah, that's right.
I didn't intend.
I thought the fish window was right behind your desk.
I did not mean to obstruct.
Right.
Obviously, key for us to be in the river in that beginning of that July of 2011 to keep the project on budget. It's just interesting to note that a cost of a year.
Fred, I can't resist.
I apologize. He's determined to get through his.
I guess so.
I apologize. But since Randy is speaking at a roast tonight, I just wanted to share a line with him he might want to use.
Okay.
Randy, you do great work. Folks, we have hundreds of people like Randy Leonard. Oh, I just blew the line. I'll come back to it.
Which is why he was here last year and they invited me this year.
Yeah, I agree.
No, Randy, you do a great job.
You were saying,
we need
sir.
We need 100 saying, people sir. Like Randy Leonard in government. Unfortunately, there are thousands.
There you go.
You got to tell it twice.
Opening,
it doesn't
that
work.
That was my opening joke.
Yeah. I'm glad you're not on my team this year.
Please continue,
I
Mr. Hansen.
All this, yes. Yeah. Anyway, it's critical for us to be able to be in the river in the summer of 2011. Each year it would get pushed off is probably worth at least an additional $60 or more million in terms of cost just because of the increasing inflation and borrowing costs. Utility relocation will be in the summer of that same year, spring summer of 2011, and we expect the line to open in 2015. We usually have those scheduled for the first or second week of September of those years. With that, we appreciate your support. We'd be happy to answer any questions as we move this project forward.
Do we have someone from PDC here today?
We do.
So is that another panel or just available to
available
for questions
available
later?
Available
to
for
answer questions.
So maybe we can roll through the rest of the presentation. Sam mentioned that we had agreed to provide $30 million to the of the $1.4 billion light rail project. For the past 2 years, we've had an interagency team with representatives of transportation, PDC, OMS, and the Office of Government Relations working to evaluate possible funding sources to meet that funding need. The team prepared a conceptual funding plan that you accepted when you adopted the resolution in June of this year, June of 2009, and we now have prepared a final funding plan based on the direction that you gave us. Before council today is an ordinance that authorizes the IGA between the City of Portland and TriMet and formalizes our contribution to the project. Art is going to talk to you about the specifics that we've come to in this, and then any of us will be happy to answer questions.
All right. So I think in the packet before you, there's an Exhibit A right behind the ordinance. If not, I have additional copies here that shows in sort of simplest table form the elements of the funding plan. It's made up of five elements. Do you have those for reference, or it would be helpful if I...
Why don't you pass them out again?
Yeah, sure.
So the proposed funding plan at this point is made up of five elements coming from really two major sources, one being from the City of Portland and the Portland Bureau of Transportation, and that's in the total amount of $20 million, and then $10 million coming from the Portland Development Commission. Both of those contributions from the Portland Development Commission and the City of Portland are being embodied in one IGA, and then there'll be a second agreement between PBOT and the PDC to formalize their contribution of $10 million. So that first item is the contribution from the Portland Development Commission in the, coming from the North Macadam Urban Renewal Area in the amount of $10 million. The next item is $3.22 million in future parking revenues. The middle item is $5 million from a new yet-to-be-formed TSDC overlay. So that's one where we have an RFP ready to issue. So once council confirms this is the approach, to prepare a consultant team to do the public process to formalize this TSDC overlay, very similar to what we formed for the North Macadam District. We do have some citywide SDC funds as well, so 1.78 in SDC funds, and then $10 million from the North Macadam TSDC overlay, which council adopted last April. So it's a variety of mechanisms are being pushed together to make this total package totaling $30 million.
Could you just explain to me again the citywide?
TSDC?
Yeah,
TSDC. So the citywide TSDC is our transportation system development charges that are contributed from throughout the city geography for that development's impact on the transportation
system. Okay, so you're just using a certain amount of what's already in place.
Yes.
Okay. Correct. The other overlays are in addition to a contribution to the citywide SDC, an additional contribution from those geographies to contribute to particular projects, including the light rail.
Any other questions?
Well, I guess... I guess the question I'm duty-bound to ask is the commissioner in charge of the Bureau of Environmental Services is we don't seem very happy with sort of the utility reimbursement approach. And
Mayor, let Neil deal with this. This is obviously an ongoing part of any of our projects.
Okay.
Again, so. Neil, this is Neil McFarland from TriMet, and I would note that I think actually we're coming down to a very short list of, if you will, remaining discussion topics, for lack of a better word, with BES. I think we've gotten full agreement on, if you will, probably 80% of the possible relocations. And we're down to what, between the Bureau Director and ourselves, you've sort of called the big hairy pipes, which are the very deep, large brick sewers. And the question is, what do you do about them when they're 30 feet down and they're, you know, very old and they go under existing railroad tracks and existing buildings. And so we have some approaches like that, and I think we're very close to a settlement on that. And we're continuing to talk, and we're an excellent working relationship with BES staff, I would say.
And then the other question was, I was meeting with PDC staff yesterday, and I haven't seen the papers today. Was there some big federal grant that we've obtained now for this bridge?
We applied for TIGER, which is Transportation Tiger. Investments Generating Economic Recovery, and we're successful yesterday getting $23.2 million, I believe, of the directed specifically at Moody Avenue reconstruction, okay. Which is essentially a component of the knitting, which Sam has referenced for some years now, of street improvements that need to occur to support the light rail investment. Okay. So that's certainly great news.
Yeah, great news.
And I threatened to keep going back to the White House unless they gave it to us.
So they came right across with it.
Well, but you can still go after the east side.
We got 23 million.
I know, only 23 million. All right, anything else? Oh, can you just remind us again, it was in your comments, Fred, the number of jobs that this project will create?
12,300 jobs, $490 million in personal earnings.
In payroll. Is that fair to say payroll? And then you break ground on, you said, the pre-bridge work or something, in what?
2011.
2011, but things really get going. Do they get going in 2011?
Some of the early work we will begin, the bridge work, for example, will begin in the summer of 2011, mm-hmm. The utility relocation right just before that, and some of the other prep work. We will proceed with that under what's called an LONP, a letter of no prejudice, because it is before they would sign the full funding grant agreement. That will come in 12. What it does is it allows us to be able to make those expenditures, and once we actually receive a full funding grant agreement, assuming we do, which we do, then they are just a part of the regular project cost matched by the federal government and so on. But it is something that until that full funding grant agreement has been given, we do not have the federal dollars to match it.
And that's somewhat unique to transportation, but not unique within transit and transportation.
It is very typical. In fact, as an aside, it's one of the things we wish we'd have for most other federal programs, because they, you know, kind of figure out what the total cost is, sign up for it, agree to a funding plan for it. And it's not kind of like, it's not the camel's nose under the tent. It's not the B-52 bomber that,
right.
You know, you never get to the end and you see the cost escalations.
By the way, Sue, the mayor and I were at an event today where they're honoring Loaves and Fishes for their 40th anniversary, 40 million meals. The executive director hobbled up to the stage and said that she injured herself.
On MLK.
Now, she injured herself racing to get to her car to feed the meter because she was so afraid of getting a ticket.
Yeah.
And she twisted her ankle on the way.
We're going to forward you her
claim.
We're going to forward you her claim.
The claim.
Yeah. I won't say Sam threw you to the wolves, but it was not pretty.
She should have been on transit.
There we go. And you know what? They're not supposed to feed meters.
That goes right at the front.
He was on my team.
So thank you all very much.
Do we have someone from PDC, Mayor?
Yes. Lisa, you want to come up, answer questions for PDC? And who's signed up to testify?
I guess, because I know there's some testimony coming, maybe I'll give a moment of context, because I've been part of a lot of the sort of preparatory conversations coming to this council session. So you'll note within the funding package that 20 of the total $30 million of local match contribution is coming from the geography of the North McAdam urban renewal area. And that's the area that South Waterfront is in. This council's been around for a while and recalls that there's been a message to the South Waterfront area and the North McAdam URA area for quite a while that we need to develop mechanisms for it to carry its own weight to produce the infrastructure that's needed down in South Waterfront. And so the North McAdam TSDC overlay was a response to that directive, as well as the tax increment funding mechanism being put in place. The action that we're doing today is the North McAdam URA stepping up to cover some of the region's costs for producing a new regional improvement. So I think some of the concerns we're going to hear today are coming from this geography, feeling like they're being asked to carry a heavy load and wanting to make sure the council recognizes that over time there's going to be a continued need to support this district as it continues to develop. So.
And if I could just speak to that from a policy point of view and why I'm proposing this particular, and I went to talk to the North McAdam URA folks, is this district needs moving forward for its success needs a number of additional investments. But if we don't do light rail first and now, then we don't get to unlock the other funding opportunities for the other pieces needed, other infrastructure investments needed. This district has to have a mode split of almost 50% non-car trips. And so that's why streetcar, the knitting for that we talked about, the $23 million, and why this, we prioritize that. Reasonable people can disagree, but that's the reason.
Any other specific questions for Lisa?
Yeah, if I could, and thank you. So this will be painless, but I just want to put on the record my understanding of the answers to a couple of questions that we posed. And that has to do with how this $10 million impacts other budgeted priorities within the district that the council has also said are high priorities for moving forward. And the first question had to do with how this would impact the funding for Block 49, which is the veterans housing. And since the council got the last presentation on that piece, Director Van Vliet has been working to come up with a new financing model. We actually think we may be able to come up with one, but it requires that we front load some money. So my understanding is that the $10 million we're talking about here would not prevent PDC from front-loading the money that's in the budget to cover the Block 49 expenses, which is $20 million for the next fiscal year and $3 million in 12-13. Is that your understanding?
Yeah, I think my understanding is we're working on a North MAC budget that would front-load the housing. It likely would require conversations with OMF, and those are ongoing, with light rail money to follow. So that's correct. They would actually be sequenced so that what we're looking for is the funds for the housing in the next 2 to 3 fiscal years, and the light rail is not anticipated until 3 years out.
Thank you. And I'm generally familiar with the OMF conversation. And the second piece has to do with the Greenway. And just so people are clear, this my understanding is this does not impact the budgeted amount of $4 million for TIF for the Greenway, but it does potentially, given cash flow and other things, delay when that money might be available?
Well, the way we have it currently modeled is we are looking, we have a $4 million obligation as part of the Central District Agreement, and that we continue to carry that in the near-term years. So we're continuing to carry that. I think if it impacted anything, it's looking at the timing of those dollars potentially and the timing of the project and or future phases, I would say, of Greenway elsewhere in the district.
Here, that's my understanding, so thank you for the clear answers.
Yes, let's go to the sign-up sheet, please.
If two people signed up, please come on up. Larry Richards and Steve Gray.
Hi, welcome to the City Council. Glad you're here. Give us your first and last name, and that clock in front of you will help you count down your three minutes.
I'm Steve Gray. I'm the chair of the North McAdam Urban Renewal Advisory Committee. I've been involved in this since the beginning of when the district was formed, as far as the boundaries. The light rail, we realize, is a very integral part of developing the area, but we feel that the $10 million that we originally agreed to with the transportation overlay should be our contribution and not $10 million from TIF. You said that, well, south, you know, park blocks and central east side, and as we got off sort of easy compared to other light rails, but all the contribution is coming from one district only, and that's North McAdam, none from South Waterfront or South Park Blocks, nor is it coming from Central East Side. The second part is that we did have a conversation with the mayor-elect at that time, and he told us, you know, we're going to $10 million, and that was going to be our contribution.
That's not true. And there are people in the room, and my staff was in the room, and they've told you, and I'm sorry to embarrass you like this, but I can't let that go. We said that we absolutely would be pursuing a overlay on an SDC and the TAC and the urban renewal contribution. I would not be pursuing an LID.
Okay. All right. Well, there's that. But with taking this other money, we will be delaying other projects in the future. We have the one of the largest ones is the South Portal, which right this moment is already failing, and we still are studying how to be able to, you know, get cars in and out of there. PDOT, they've already said, that intersection does fail at this moment at rush hour.
The district will fail if we don't have light rail. You won't just have one portal failing. The entire district will fail from a transportation point of view.
Right. Well, at the moment, it is already failing. Our other is that we are paying three times the cost per lineal foot as the other lines paid. The next is that we really have one station in South Waterfront at this in the proposed design as it is right now. One is at Portland State, which is clear at the north end of the district, and there is only one station where most all of the other lines have multiple stops. We have one stop, so. You know, for two-thirds of the contribution that the city's asking of their contribution is coming from our area, and you know, we basically have one stop in South Waterfront. That's it. So, you know, we just didn't feel that you know we should bear the burden of two-thirds of it. That's you know there should be some other ways to finance the other $10 million. We don't mind you know giving up. A portion of the $10 million, but the full $10 million we thought was too much.
So, sir, I don't know if you saw, just to share with you a little bit of context, it's important that you understand my point of view. Did you notice the front page newspaper story where I was raked over the coals for just applying for that Tiger grant for your district of $23.2 million?
No, I haven't had a chance.
Okay, well, I encourage you to look at that. A lot of the city believes that you're getting undue investment in your neighborhood at the expense of other parts of town. And we get regularly criticized, I get regularly criticized for trying to complete the vision of your neighborhood, including applying for federal grants. You just need to know that.
Well, once that district is all developed, we feel that you will be bringing in quite a bit of tax dollars. I mean, at this point, I mean, Mr. Larry right here, I think when he'll say his folks, if you continue to, you know, add fees and other things, that they won't be able to develop their property. And that's the concern we've got from the property, a lot of the property owners that
right. And we have that concern.
After another.
And I share that concern, and that's why I committed not to do an LID and only an SDC overlay. An LID you would have to pay right away. An SDC only as development occurs. It's why we asked for $23 million from the federal government to help move your district forward, which you have received. It's why urban renewal does not add fees to your district. It does take from the overall fund.
Right. We just feel that you will, you know, that there's going to be a lot of things that are going to be put off for 10 or 20 years in development down there.
Our estimate isn't that gruesome, but yes, some things will be put off. Sir.
Yes. My name is Larry Richards. I have been on the Urban Renewal Advisory Committee for North McAdam only since August of last year, so my tenure there is short. But for the past nearly 30 years, I've been working for the Zidell companies. From the office on Southwest Moody Avenue. So I've got a pretty good perspective for a period of time in terms of what that neighborhood has been. I think that we all can agree that South Waterfront has very significant development potential for both the city and the region. We also, as we've been talking about, recognize that South Waterfront has some really significant infrastructure needs to be able to realize that potential. My colleagues at Zidell have been working for many years with our neighbors, with the city, and with other interested parties to move development forward in our area. And we're really quite pleased to see the changes that have been brought about by the development that's occurred in the Central District. We recognize that this ordinance asks us as property owners in the district to bear what we believe is a disproportionate share of the local match for the light rail project. And our expectation is that the city will lend us assistance into the district, into the future, as we address the needs that the district has to meet in the future. Those needs include not only streets, but the continued expansion of the streetcar, the pedestrian bridge from Lair Hill to South Waterfront, the extension of the Greenway from River Place down to John's Landing, affordable housing needs, as well as the creation of additional open space in the neighborhood. These are going to require not only sophisticated financing strategies, such as this light rail project that you're looking at, but also smart city council leadership to keep the district from being overburdened with fees that would make development uncompetitive and therefore unrealized when the economy recovers. In addition, we need your leadership across city bureaus to avoid conflicting bureau actions that would make it impossible for us to generate the tax increment financing on which we're all depending to pay for many of these improvements. In the final analysis, if development is to move forward, it'll have to make economic sense. There'll have to be sufficient economic returns to attract the required investment. All of us in the city benefit from the various neighborhoods in the city because they provide us with places to live, to work, and to recreate. It's going to take the combined efforts of private and public investment to realize the potential of South Waterfront, and the completion of this light rail project is one of the key factors in that process. Maintaining a sustainable balance over the long run between the contributions of private and public investment is really the only way of realizing the potential in South Waterfront. And those of us at Zidell will continue to be a willing partner with the city in this ongoing development. And what we ask from you in return is a strategic, coordinated, and consistent leadership from the City Council so that the public and private investments can be fully realized for the potential of this district.
What do you think about our leadership on the $23.2 million?
I think it's great.
Thank you both very much. Okay. Anyone else wish to testify on this matter? All right. This moves to a second reading next week, unless there's additional council discussion. And we are recessed till 3:30, where we have a time certain.